Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's Mike O'Mara Show is brought to you by our Amazon page. Please remember to shop Amazon, and when you do, go to MikeO'MaraShow.com/Amazon or click the Amazon link on our website. It's the best way to shop and the best way to support this program. Now, on with the show.
Available on demand every day in iTunes and the Google Play Store and around the world on MikeO'MaraShow.com. What more can we do for you? It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Hi, everybody. How about our intern, Adrian,
hey,
and his new haircut today?
That's a great look.
Thank you.
How about that look?
Can
that
I make an award to Pony for the line of the day on his haircut?
Can you wipe the sleep out of your eyes?
Speak English, son. Starting?
Can we talk about me for just one second?
It is an award for you, though.
Can I make a compliment? Can I slide a... Yes, of course you can. So Pony had the line of the day regarding Adrian.
He did, and Adrian, you must stand so Mike can see you when I give this award.
Yeah, give him a little twirl.
Because not only did Adrian get a sweet new haircut... He's dressed up in a sport jacket with a pocket square and everything and a watch. Yes. And he comes in and Pony says, "Hey, you look like you're on the first day of the job at a drug cartel trying to impress the boss."
There he is. You look fantastic.
See, I think you look great.
I really do.
I think it's I'm not into
beards, but if I had to be, I'd be into you.
Yeah, you like short guys.
Really? So what I have to ask you, Diego, what motivated you to change, dramatically change this look. Go from a sloppy pothead to a corporate insider or cartel hitman.
Yeah.
What, what made you do that?
Just the time of the season. This is usually the time this is my usual haircut. This is a fresh look?
Usually look.
But just during the spring and summertime, I let it grow out.
I beg to differ. We've seen you, your pothead Diego ways too long.
Yeah. Well, sometimes you got to keep warm, Oscar.
You know, can I make this point as I think about Pony's comment, and then I think about the movie that the TV show that we're all watching, Ozark.
Yeah.
And I think about, and since we have two Latino gentlemen in the room, I have to ask, you know, I'm really it just dawned on me that I realize that society right now, you know, there's a new initiative for legal immigration that's coming out of the administration, and I'm thinking all of a sudden I'm going, well, wait a minute. You know, that comment by Pony, and then you watch a movie like Ozark, or you watch a TV show like Queen of the South, or you not a movie Ozark, but a television TV show, and you watch all this content that really ultimately how Latinos are portrayed. It just hit me like a bolt of lightning.
Sure.
It's like the difference between the way Latinos are played and even like the Italian mafia in movies like Goodfellas. I'm beginning there is a level of like ruthlessness and sinister, you know, and I realize, look, don't get me wrong. I realize the Mexican cartels, dangerous guys, Colombian cartels, dangerous guys, but there is no real redeeming quality. You know, when you look at Paulie in Goodfellas, and you see that, you know, do I amuse you? Do I make you? There's a level, and Henry Hill, a gangster, a murderer, a cold-blooded murderer. But they had that, you know, eating sausage and peppers. You don't get that with the portrayals
because
of Latinos. You
get praise is that they are so focused.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so
single-minded. Yeah.
And you know, Ozark is, Oscar, is Ozark not just another, but a pure example of that with the pilot?
But
you know, I mean.
I appreciate you being self-aware enough to honestly say, I just realized this happened.
I've always known, when you're talking about immigrants taking our jobs,
But when you're Latino, you see this all the time.
But here's the question. This is a big question for you. Do you kind of, you know, because I think that, you know, you'd get a few African-Americans who would own up to the fact that Whitey, the white devil.
Whitey.
You know, the white man.
It's like,
I don't want to go into that neighborhood. There would be the African-American that would say, that's kind of okay. That's kind of cool. The fear factor. But by and large, the profiling can't be cool. So, I mean, I'm curious about, you know, it doesn't get talked about a lot.
It doesn't get talked about. But, and I'll say this.
Talk about jobs,
that when people talk about race and they talk about what they feel like, to be a black man, what they feel like to be a Latin man, when they talk about it in a way that, quite simply, you could study all you'd like and you have as many black friends as you'd like and you think you have your own myopic view of what race in America currently is, and we are blessed, especially in the D.C. area, to live in a melting pot, so we don't have it as bad as most Latinos, I would say, because that's who I can speak for.
Right.
That, yes, you have an unconscious bias when you see a Latino because you have you already have your perceived thoughts about skin color and who they are.
But here, let me give you the way
it happens. Now, I don't make mad about the drug cartel. Man. That's I mean, when the storyline says a drug cartel, it's got to be a Mexican guy playing it, right?
But this is the thing. This is the way I perceive it. I mean, I perceive it two ways. And I don't know whether I'm alone, but I know I'm not an isolated person here with this. I perceive it this is the way I perceive Latinos in where I live down in Florida and in my work environment. The idea, outside of comedically and a line that I can throw out there for fun, I do not it literally does not enter my mind that Oscar or Diego are Latino. When the microphone's open and they're shtick, well, I use that as a source of material.
We do bits.
Outside of that, it doesn't enter my mind. However, I'm telling you, if I went to Nogales, to go down and buy some trinkets to bring back over the border, and I walked into the wrong place, I'd probably go winky tinky in my panty wanties.
Yeah.
Because of all the pop culture, right?
Yeah.
I'd probably, because I mean, if I saw it was a hot, dusty, Mexican day, I'd probably be like, oh, we're going to die now because of the onslaught, because that's all we've got.
But
I'm just throwing this out. Can
I add this just briefly?
Yeah.
But I think it's an equal opportunity offense, because how many times you see in the Robs of the world portrayed, white guys portrayed a certain way in movies and television now, right? Like
what do you mean? What's the stereotype?
I would say stereotype is like King of Queens, for example. That's the best example.
Or Kevin Can Wait, which is just like King of Queens.
Because the white guy called the our pop culture, and I don't think this is a bad discussion to have.
No, not
really
at all.
Fascinating how our pop culture shapes our views. The way, and I've said this about commercials for years and years. That's a great example. The Mike and Molly, the Kevin James, the Mad About You, the Big Bang Theory. You've got the most inoffensive, non-threatening. I mean, and then it spills over into commercials. There's a bed company now using puppets to sell the bed. I mean, and then you got the, I think, is it CarMax or whatever, where the nerd comes out with the cape on.
Yeah, so
every single guy seems to be portrayed as having his balls cut off at birth, so he can come out and be like, and I think you'll really get a kick out
gotta
of this
make,
car.
Gotta make
buckaroo.
The missus happy.
These are the last of the acceptable stereotypes.
I don't mind them in Hollywood, but I'll say this, that for those of you who empathize and say, minorities, like, it is not just because there was a black president, 8 years of a black president does not make essentially racism go away.
That
it
was
just
Barack it Obama doesn't. You're speaking
yes.
of?
Yes. And people that are people, there are people that think that. They said, what else
it's
do minorities
over
want? It's
yeah,
over.
It's over. But
it's not the case.
I've got two stereotypes. I've got that one that is, but really that... I don't know how many areas of the United States do not have Latin American populations.
We're everywhere.
The work crew that just worked on
like
this house.
Bunnies.
All Latin crew that was, it's not even, look, I know it's painting. I know it's something that, but it was, I've seen it in Florida. I've seen it up here. It's stunning how the work ethic. And then I got Oscar, who's kind of like going like the Energizer Bunny all day long. That's my personal stereotype, because those are the people that I interact with, okay? But at the same time, you get the movies and television, which has this, I go back to Ozark, that scene in Ozark,
I mean,
oh my God. I mean, and that's what it is in so many different movies.
In Hollywood, it doesn't, is it cool once in a while to see Jimmy Smith, as an executive? Yes.
Yeah.
That's cool, right?
Or
as
a Jedi.
Or as a Jedi, that's awesome. I'm like, oh, that's, but to see a drug lord, a Latino play a drug lord, I'm like, we're getting work. You know, it's like one of these things.
Well, it's like, you know, Boys in the Hood. Same thing with African-American actors. Yeah. But I think that overall, I wonder, when you're out in the world where there is a popular group of people that say, these people are coming over the borders, taking our jobs, taking. I wonder how much that crap, and by the way, statistics might bear it out. You can make an argument for that if you want. That crap is fueled by the Hollywood machine and the sinister Latino.
Yep.
It's always the same way. And they can be good-looking sinister, but they're sinister. And the thing, the element that exists within that stereotype, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the element of one word, ruthlessness.
It's a good
killing,
word.
Killing not you, killing you. Your grandmother, your puppy, and your family. Do you understand what I mean? And
leave no stone unturned.
That's right. Eventually, they're going to kill the puppets in the mattress commercial.
Mm-hmm. Somebody might say that that just combines the ruthlessness with the incredible work ethic. You know? Like, you're not done when you finish the roof. You want to do the siding as well.
Yeah,
so
course.
Go to grandma's house and pop two caps in her ass, too. You know? That's the way that works as well. I don't know why I went there, but it all
started because we're talking about Ozark, and there's a drug lord in Ozark, and now Diego looks like a drug lord.
Yeah,
and
Diego, I ask Oscar all the time, but you know, I'll ask you: Do you have any examples of discrimination in your world, where because you are who you are,
as a hotelier,
you look like what you look like, that you've gotten any of that? Because I'm curious. You know, does anybody, like, do you get an on an elevator and see like a thin white guy shaking uncontrollably or anything like that?
No, I've only experienced racism once and it sucked. It's the worst feeling ever.
Here in the studio.
That's right.
Is it Rob?
Only here.
From Matthew Bloom.
You guys are lucky there's no HR here. I'm HR, I guess.
Report to yourself, son.
Right. It was a guest who was so upset because we didn't allow pets in the hotel, and he had already checked in. He had his dog with him, and I told him, it says right there on the website, we do not allow pets. He's like, I don't read Spanish. I was like, and he tore up that room.
The dog or the guy?
The guy.
Okay.
I love dogs.
Yeah. Tell them to go to La Quinta Inn. That's the one that has the puppies.
I hate when guests complain about our rates because you get what you pay for, right?
Yeah.
I'm like, if you don't want to pay the rates, just go to the Best Western. Have fun with the bed bugs.
Oh, damn.
Wow.
Damn,
son. That's true. So can I get a discount? Like, no. Like, who do you think you are?
Mike O'Mara?
Mike O'Mara would get a discount.
Yeah,
100%.
And you could bring your dogs, Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course, he's partial to chihuahuas.
The pet friendly, as someone who has traversed the 95 slab multiple times to and fro, I will tell you that traveling dog free, one of the greatest experiences of my life because, you know, let me tell you something. The places where they have the dogs are the places where they have the dog dirt, too. And the fact is that, you know, when you're going up there,
extra layer
you're
of cleaning,
you're 95 out of, like, Pooler, Georgia in May. And let me tell you, you got every blue-haired that's driving. I'm sorry, Shih Tzu is what I meant to say. And I go out there,
and
it is a sea of poo on the islands near the, it's not pleasant, you know.
You see, I'm so glad you say that, because Carrie is off in Florida, where she said, you know, we could bring Linus with us. There are dog-friendly hotels.
They're few and far between.
And I will say, call Mike,
I'll tell you a secret. Life hack. Just put a little, like, emergency cross on, like, a vest on your dog. And just say it's for emotional support. According to the ADA.
See, there. And to me, that's the Latin work ethic all over again.
Yeah.
That's a
Find
great life
Find a way.
Because it's illegal to ask if that's a service animal.
I realize that this is a Sheridan, but I'm very nervous without my pooch. Thank you.
Yep.
May I bring him to the breakfast buffet?
and then the guy across the counter goes, "See."
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. You can listen to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
I think all right-thinking people in this country are sick and tired of being told that ordinary decent people are fed up in this country with being sick and tired.
Yeah.
I'm certainly not. Well, I'm sick and tired of being told that I am.
Lady Hadley Jones?
Well, I meet a lot of people, and I'm convinced that the vast majority of wrong-thinking people are right.
Well, we seem to have a consensus there. Could we have the next question, please?
I would like to ask the team what changes they would make if they were Hitler.
Gerald?
Well, speaking personally, I'd annex the Sudetenland.
Norman?
I think I'd pay some Dutchman to set fire to Lord Snowden.
Liberal rubbish! Klaus?
Yeah?
What do you want with your jugged fish?
Halibut.
The jugged fish is halibut!
Halibut. What fish have you got that isn't jugged?
Rabbit.
What, rabbit fish?
Yes. It's got fins.
Is it dead?
Well, it was coughing up blood last night.
All right, I'll have the dead unjugged rabbit fish.
One dead unjugged rabbit fish later.
Well, that was really horrible.
Oh, you're always complaining.
What's for afters?
Rat cake, rat sorbet, rat pudding or strawberry tart.
Strawberry tart?
Well, it's got some rat in it.
How much?
Three. Rather a lot, really.
Well, I'll have a slice without so much rat in it.
One slice of strawberry tart without so much rat in it later.
Appalling.
Moan, moan, moan.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his easy chair, here's Mike.
We're live from the Fiverr Studios in our nation's capital. This is the Mike O'Mara Show. The Mike O'Mara Show, a worldwide podcast and radio show with the most loyal listeners. The most of loyal listeners. If you're here, you're in the know. We are on air, on demand, and heard 24/7 on the new TMOS app. Update it now and get our show all day, every day. You can reach us at 888-920-MORE. That's 888-920-6673. The Mike O'Mara Show on now and brought to you by one of our favorite products. We love the That's It fruit bars. They're phenomenal. Oscar, what flavors do you have in your hand
I've
right now?
I've got apple blueberry and apple strawberry.
Oh, both great.
Give one to, do we have Emmy on deck
we
today?
Do, we do, absolutely.
Give one of the fruit bars to our departing intern,
I'm going
Emmy.
To eat the other one, if you don't mind.
What, now, what flavor are you eating, us?
Apple blueberry, yes.
Apple blueberry, yes. Which is my favorite. I love that one. By the way, That's It fruit bars have no added sugars, preservatives, concentrates. They don't have that in there. They're all natural. Only the only ingredients are fruit and fruit.
That's it.
That's it. That's why they call them That's It. That's it, Rob.
That's it.
You can find them at Whole Foods, CVS, Starbucks, and you will love them. My favorite flavor, as I mentioned before, is, well, it says here apple cherry. That's not accurate. It's the one Oscar's. Does that not explode with fruit?
Apple blueberry is amazing.
Apple blueberry is incredible. Emmy, are you trying to bite of one right now?
Emmy just took her insulin. She can't have one.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay.
But Rob will have it.
That's okay. Rob, give it to Rob. Give it to Rob Spiewak.
Oh, Rob needs more fruit in his life.
Let's see. I guess he needs one.
Rob, you should be eating four of these a day.
Yeah, as a meal.
That's it, fruit bar. What flavor do you have?
Apple strawberry. The strawberry flavor is so great. It is just, it's like a fresh strawberry. It's amazing.
And let me tell you why really Rob's endorsement is more significant than Oscar's just now, because Rob ate 3/4 of the bar in one bite.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. That's it. They are super delicious, a great source of fiber, zero fat, zero, convenient for on the go, and they're great for kids. Plus, it's an easy and delicious way to get that serving of fruit in your diet that you are missing. That's It is offering my listeners an amazing deal, I just said amazing. Let me try it again.
Amazing.
That's It is offering my listeners an amazing deal. Go to thatsitfruit.com. Enter the code TMOS at checkout to save 10% off your order. Do what we did and try these bars just like Oscar and Rob are enjoying them right now. You're going to love them as well.
Yummy.
Again, go to thatsitfruit.com. Enter my code TMOS at checkout to save 10% off your order. Your taste buds and your body. We'll thank you.
The
and,
best.
You know, I have to dive right in. You know, we were talking about Diego. We were talking about racism, Latinos, everything. It's not about any of that.
No, not today.
This show is all about one thing and one thing only. And you know what that is, Rob?
What?
You, and not you.
It's all about you.
Right. Right.
Right.
Right, all about
it's
you.
It's all about you.
Fruit.
It's all about you.
Strawberries.
All the time.
Strawberries.
All these things that I do. It's all about
that
you.
Wonderful?
Apple.
It's all
apple.
About you.
Hey, Apple.
Yep.
All the time. Hey,
Apple.
Hey, Apple. Hey, Apple.
Hey, Rob.
Mike.
Anything from our P.O. box, you slack-jawed loser?
Yes, actually.
Rob writes these, by the way. I know, these insults.
We have cards.
The most hack insults.
We have cards, one for each of us. I will hand Mike yours to Oscar, Oscar can read yours. And I got a package.
Oh, you always get a package. Rob got a package.
Yeah, look at this. You know, exciting. And you know this when you get it from Amazon, this 12 by 12 piece of cardboard.
That's vinyl.
You know that there's an LP inside.
LP.
And the card
I get a lot
reads,
of vinyl. Thanks to everybody that sends me the vinyl. Cappy and wonderful people that send me vinyl all the time. Much appreciated.
Not familiar with this artist, Ingrid Michaelson, and it says, a gift for you. For you. Hi, Rob. Start here and then go back for her older stuff. May take a couple of plays to get you hooked, but if not, you can always give it to the kids or Carrie can play it upstairs. Enjoy your gift. This is from P1 listener Jason Wickland.
Well, here it's Ingrid Michaelson.
Yes.
And Rob, you might be very, very surprised that this individual that sent you this, I rarely am in on the joke or in on the secret, but
right.
The fact is that I received a letter from an email from Ingrid, and I received the same album when
really?
I was down in Florida. I don't know why this has taken this so long, but the fact is that she sent it to me, and she said, I'm going to be sending this to Rob, and can you know, get it on the show? I did the whole thing with iTunes, and I went and
I downloaded it
because I... So we've got a taste of that. I'll hold up the album again because okay. I'll play a cut from it right now.
Here it is.
And this
America.
Is now who's the listener? I forgot the listener that sent this again. This is
the listener was it was Jason Wickland.
Rob Mobber,
Jason Wickland sent this. Let's play the cut. What's the album title again? So
this
we make
is,
sure we get it.
Ingrid Michaelson's It Doesn't Have to Make Sense.
Okay, here it is. Ingrid Michaelson.
If I had my way, I'd always stay in Florida among the poor.
Fidelity is incredible.
Yeah, a lot of people think CDs sound better. I disagree.
There we are. Thank you
very,
very
much. Very nice.
But you'd enjoy that. So,
and the card.
Anything else?
Yes, I have the card. Okay. Why don't you start, Rob?
All right, is a thank you note. Actually, I won't spare. I'll spare you the entire text. But Jim Amato, who sometimes fills in on Omericast, we did some work
wonderful
for him.
With that great voice,
and he does those great promos. He just sent a nice thank you note to
all
of us.
A class act.
Nice
and I'm
guy.
Not talking just like thanks. Have a great life.
No, a letter.
An actual letter, Mike. Yeah. Multiple
yes,
letters.
Yes, I understand.
Something that's no problem. Something's qual. Yes. So there's something special, and it is endearing when someone takes the time to actually write hand. To paper.
Yeah, it's classy.
Or
it's old school,
paper.
And
hand
it's very nice. So thank
bloody.
You, Jim, and we appreciate the work you do for us.
Jim, you rule. Jim,
Mike loves
a true talent.
Thank
true talent.
You. All right, let's dive in, all shall right. we? It's time. Tomorrow, Ron Martinelli hits the big 5-0.
Oh, Ron Martinelli, he's a good boy. Mac!
Good boy.
Yes. Ron Martinelli, he's the big 5-0, and he's a good boy.
You startled Mac.
I know I did. I had to.
Blood
Jesus.
Pressure.
You know
was
what he was looking at?
He, falling
he was looking at Oscar's toy computer and staring at it like it was some sort of lover.
Like
yeah.
Sex.
Anyway,
well, I think you might have put your finger right on it.
Moving right along, William writes, happy birthday to Bella.
Oh, okay.
The best stripper in the world. Wow.
Whoa.
That's, hey, I just read them, folks. That's what came across. She probably doesn't remember me, but I certainly remember her. Her birthday was last Monday. Bella has the biggest butt you have ever seen. What is this? Happy birthday. This is just William
that's
and
all
Bella.
That's
I don't
all
have any
signed.
No last names,
no.
right?
Like, when you say you just read them, I just copy them. I mean, I don't make these up either.
Good
so.
Gad. Next letter. That's all. That's all
it
is. Hey, fellas. I just picked up a 2016 Jeep, the newest car I've ever owned. I decided to take a road trip to Dana Point, California. Am I blasting tunes as I cruise the California coast? No. Hell no. I've got the Mike O'Mara Show cruising along with me. Thanks for being there for us through the bad times as well as the good times. Cheers, boys. That's from Don.
Nice.
That's
not
awesome,
to be confused
dude.
With William, who liked Bella's butt.
Bella had the biggest butt
biggest
you've
butt.
Ever seen. Greatest stripper in the world.
Nicki Minaj butt.
Next letter says, hi, boys. Nicki Minaj. Before I forget, I am writing to ask if you and the guys can wish Josh Frumpkin, oh, the Jeopardy guy.
Exactly.
A happy birthday during this week's mailbag. He turned 41 on Wednesday. Loyal supporter of the show. We celebrated by going to Trivia Night Wednesday. Well, he's going to mop up
he's
going to
kill, yeah.
And then she writes, what a dork. Thanks thanks always for everything. And that's Alicia Frumpkin. And
I like that because, you know, your wife calls me a dork. So maybe it's really
and
a
she calls me
endearment.
A dork.
Oh, does she? Dorkville. So it's a term of endearment. Oh.
Like early in our relationship, Buddy Rich was playing, and I was conducting him, and I was going dinner, and I, you know, I end the song, and it's like, ba-dam,
right,
ba-dam, and I look over, you know, I was thinking she'd be impressed, and she says, "You're such a dork." Anyway, thank you. Hi, Mike, Rob, Oscar, and Pony Boy. Thank you for all the laughs. I've been listening to the show since the WABA days, and you have helped me through many of life's pains and struggles, and now my divorce. I just wanted to thank Rob for one of his little sounds that he played last week. This morning at our company meeting, we were discussing voice-activated devices like Siri and Alexa. Right then, I remembered Siri singing Bohemian Rhapsody in the audio vault. I pulled up the video on my phone and played it for the team, and everyone had a nice laugh. So thank you for that.
Like that.
I am a bonus show subscriber, and I shop Amazon through your portal. Mike, 2 weeks ago, it was my son's fifth birthday. I went through your portal and bought him lots of Legos and clothes from Amazon. Well, I know that's a $1,000 purchase if you bought Legos.
Legos,
pal.
Sure.
I also got him the Lost My Name book. That's wonderfully now. Thanks for all the entertainment you guys provide. Sandeep Yadav.
Thank
Sandeep
you, sir.
Yadav, I believe.
Appreciate it.
Sandeep.
He sent no pronouncer.
Oh, okay. Very good. Moving right along.
Very kind
good afternoon, gentlemen. I'm a teacher. This morning I received an email from my principal asking me for links so that parents can purchase supplies for my class. I provided the links to her through the TMOS Amazon page.
Woo!
That is the way it's supposed
life
to be.
Good thinking. Excellent thinking.
Life hack.
That is so incredibly healthy and helpful.
Helpful.
Thank you. Hopefully my students can help Rob get closer to realizing his dream of someday having a round foyer table of his very own. Sincerely, John Crandall of Tampa, Florida.
Mike, I don't think you were here. We have a sort of a code in Leesburg is that there is a section of housing on the other side of Route 15 where all the houses are so big, they have big round tables in their foyers when you come in. Usually leading to a split staircase. And so the code on our side of Route 15 is, oh, they're a round table family.
Oh, okay. Yeah. You know, I once in my life.
I remember.
What happened, Mike?
Catered dinners.
What happened?
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyway, a story.
Mike misses his Knights of the Round Table.
Yes. Yes.
Many nights.
No. Was not a particularly sunny time in my life.
It was, it was like a War of the Roses situation.
But so much space, you barely ever had to run into her.
No, it's so true.
That's your flight of stairs.
His, hers.
Honey, honey, I'm home.
Where are you?
Come over here.
Anyway, a story.
It sounds like more, but Mike, wasn't it more like, honey, I'm home.
I'm home. And then the response would be, boo. A story on August 6, 1988, against her better judgment, the brilliant and beautiful Kathy Harris agreed to become the wife of an undeserving band director.
Oh.
Fast forward 29 years. The couple is about to take the world's most perfect twin teenagers on a Brady Bunch-like trip to Hawaii for their anniversary. One of the constants through many of those years has been laughing at Mike's stories and funny voices and Rob's puns. Oscar seems nice, too. I'd say here's to the next 29, but who am I kidding? I'll never live that long. Happy anniversary, Kath. Jim Villani, maestro, the Manassas Symphony Orchestra.
Good guy.
Hello.
One of the greatest friends of
TMOS.
What
did I ever do to you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You seem nice.
Seems nice.
Too. I never narrated anything. Sorry. Never asked.
Hey, you know what? I bet he'd let you host the concert this summer.
No, thank you. I'm booked.
Yeah, ice cream.
Dear Mike, Rob, and Oscar, I have followed Mike since the mid-1980s, and I remain a big fan. A month ago, I had a serious bicycling accident that left me with a compression fracture of the T3 and 4 and a broken neck C2 and 3 that required an ICU stay and surgery. You can really totally F yourself up on a bicycle.
Oh, yeah.
This is why I don't exercise. Yeah.
Thank you, Rob. Glad for more justification for you. I got off the opiates just in time to develop blood clots the length of my entire left leg. The pain was indescribable. I was broken physically and emotionally. While staring at the ceiling during another sleepless night, I picked up my phone and looked at the show downloads that had accumulated. So I clicked an episode at random. It happened to be the one where Mike was speaking of his father's long decline in health over his final 14 years. That's when Oscar said, "This is your year five, right, Mike?" I started laughing so hard that I had to hold my freaking neck brace to keep from paralyzing myself.
God.
I hadn't laughed since the accident, and you all gave me my funny back. I just want to thank you and let you know how much you and the show mean to me from your devoted listener, John Spaulding. What a nice letter that is.
Very nice.
Thank you, John.
That's wonderful.
The image of you holding your neck brace is hilarious.
Yeah, laughing and screaming in pain.
Why don't we get out of bed? Why don't we get out of bed? Really, think of that. Guy laughing at what you said, holding a neck brace so he doesn't paralyze himself.
You see Mac? I am funny.
Yeah.
There you go.
Don't listen to Jim Vellani. No, Oscar's funny to the paralyzed.
Mac! Anyway, okay, Mike, Rob,
Mac,
and
Oscar. Mac, will you get me a coffee? You're distracting Mike.
Tomorrow, I will exit my... No, he's smiling now. I love
he is?
He
okay, he's good.
Yeah. Tomorrow, I will exit my douchebag 30s and begin my where the F did my life go 40s. Naturally, when one hits a milestone age, he tends to reflect on life, looking back at all the crap that has gone on. The only constant I've had is TMOS, and for that, I am very grateful. The show has gotten me through some rough patches, almost as if you guys knew I needed to laugh and I needed to know it was okay to do so. My only request as I start my fourth decade on the planet is to just keep doing what you do. You might not hear about it often, but I feel deep down that every day your show helps someone who is going through a rough patch, and we, the listeners, are forever grateful. I can't tell you how grateful we are for letters like this.
Yes.
It's great. Thank you for taking the time to read my letter, and here's to whatever the future brings. Sincerely, Doug Fike. There is a common theme that seems to be throughout the mailbag today, and we get a lot of that, and we're thrilled every time we do. Yes.
Point of order to Doug Fike. He's starting his fifth decade. Just so he knows, you're older than you think you are, Doug. Even though he's turning 40,
why
it's his fifth decade.
Why do you have to be a dick?
You know, this wonderful letter, and you have to nerd him.
Yeah.
Why did you nerd him? That is a troll. You just trolled him. You're like the guy that says, by the way, I just lost my entire family in a tragic house fire, and I'm getting through that, and I lost them in the 20s. And said, wasn't that the 30s?
Yeah. Like, the point isn't...
You couldn't get by that. You couldn't get... And you knew it. Why did you...
I think that if Doug is a fan of the show, he would almost expect it.
Oh. No, I think you're a dick.
I'm a dick.
Hello to all. My husband listens to your show every morning while walking our dog. He is celebrating a birthday this week. The husband of the dog.
It's so vague.
He is, really, look, just little English 101 here. Rob, you can relate to this.
I can,
okay?
Absolutely.
I'll be a nerd Nick now. My husband listens to your show every morning while walking our dog. He is celebrating a birthday this week that he is not overly excited about. No, it's the husband, I think.
Okay.
So I was hoping you could ease the pain a little by wishing Clint Johnson.
Oh, a delayed reveal. It was a delayed reveal on whose birthday it was.
Clint Johnson, a happy 48. Thank you, Brandy Johnson. So, Clint, keep walking the dog.
Yeah. We all know that pain.
And Brandy, you're a fine girl.
Thank you very much, Brandy. Brandy Alexander.
You're king of the Brandys.
You didn't even come up with one.
I couldn't come up with one. Brandy
Glanville.
Oh, yeah.
Brandy the pop star.
Mm. Ah, and Brandy the porn star. I'm just playing the odds.
You know what? That's fine. Good morning, boys. Perhaps you remember me. I'm the idiot that was day drunk at a Christmas party when his wife went into early labor. Now it's 7.5 months old. The new baby is doing great. Now, I am a narcissistic writer with a fireman's sleep schedule. Mike, I am only 35 years old, so I have to ask you, how the F do you do it? I am so worn out from this kid that I cannot imagine doing all this again later in life. Bitch away, Mike. Eat those feelings and depress that couch cushion. I get it. Lots of laughs, boys. Thanks for everything. Ian and in Spokane. P.S. What is the deal with Pony? You know, in general. Yeah,
that's
I'm
awesome.
Tired. I'm tired all the time now.
Yeah.
And he's four. And he's going into a new phase, and I'm tired now. I'll hopefully in this show or tomorrow's show, I'll tell you about Daddy Day Sunday. that I had. I had a daddy day yesterday. All
oh,
me
daddy day
from,
care.
Yeah. From 2 o'clock till we came home after dinner. Took him out to dinner and everything. You know, it was daddy day. Got him a haircut. All that fun.
Those tend to be either excellent or zero. There's not a
well,
lot of
you know
middle
what?
Time.
He saved it. The little guy. I'll Attaboy. Get to him more later. Next letter says, hello, friends. Hello, friends.
Hello.
So, August 6th is my birthday, and that means it's time for my annual Beg for an Appearance by the great Tom Brokaw. I'm pushing my luck, but I've always wanted to hear Tom talk up a record. Something up-tempo, matching his general demeanor. Thanks so much, Jim Schaffran. That's
do we spin name, for this? Jim.
Yeah, well, we have to spin. It's an impression. Yeah.
All right, so okay.
Let's see what happens, all right? See what happens. Let's see. NBC, NBC, NBC.
Hey, winner!
All right, hold on just a second. Wait, I got to do this first because Tom's got to come in.
Woo! Right.
Let's bring Tom in.
Hi,
right
Tom.
Yeah. Oh.
Tom Brokaw. NBC, NBC News. The Trump administration's sinking to new lows in approval ratings.
What?
Unfortunately, Trump's message is coming out on Twitter. Twitter feeds, not it's by Tom Brokaw.
Before that's you talk up your record, how about that Greatest Generation, Tom?
Greatest Generation, D-Day. D-Day, Tom Brokaw, NBC News. This is Tom Brokaw, but I'm not here to do that. No. I'm here to talk off a record.
Yeah.
Be a hot rockin' DJ.
Sure.
Engineer, cue the music. 97 Wave. Tom Brokaw, NBC. Tom Brokaw, NBC. How you doing? Tom Brokaw reporting from Bosnia-Herzegovina. Thank you. I'll do one more.
Oh, that ruled. 97
Wave. The Greatest Generation storming the beach at Norman. D. Still salutes the generation that made us what we are today. Tom Brokaw, NBC News.
Oh, I love it.
Tom Brokaw with an NBC News salute. Viewer Mike McIntosh. Working computers. Compulsively pleasing himself. Tom Brokaw. Famous Latinos in the spotlight on NBC News. Tom Brokaw singling out Adrian Garcia. New haircut. New beard. Same loser.
Oh, God. Like he's roasted us.
Japanese anime porn in the spotlight at NBC. Oh. Sending this dedication out to Matthew Bloom. Matthew Bloom. And a special hello to his mother, Linda. Let's send Emmy away, our intern Emmy, heading out to college. That's right. Like most colleges in the United States, Emmy's classes begin on July 24th. Hey, Emmy. What the F? 97 Wave. Not sure who I've left out. How about Adam the intern, the one that hey. I don't know very well? Adam the intern screens phones on Wednesdays. Here's a salute to Adam in the world of mediocrity.
Thank you very much.
Well done.
Go.
Oh, beautiful. Well
bye, Tom.
Done.
Goodbye,
Tom.
All.
Bye,
Tom. Tom Brokaw, ladies and gentlemen. I hope he enjoyed that. Thank you very much. Jim Schaffran sent that in, by the way. We're winding it down now. Hi, guys. My birthday is coming up next week, which reminds me it's time to re-up my annual bonus show subscription.
Woo! Good reminder for everybody.
In addition, I buy through your Amazon app. I bought both Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries recently.
Thank you.
I subscribe to Texture. That's if he goes through Amazon and buys Sherry's Berries and does all, he's like giving us a double pumper, right?
He's the
Isn't
best.
That the way that would work?
A double dip is a preferred word.
Yes.
Thank you. Sorry, Oscar. Yeah. I got that wrong. I'm all broke out. Anyway, I subscribe to Texture, pumper. And I enter TMOS on every website I visit. What else can I do for you? Recently, I needed some dental work, so I had a great idea. Why not take TMOS and listen to it while I'm in the dentist chair?
Perfect. Perfect.
What could possibly... what a great distraction. So I'm sitting there getting drilled, thinking this sucks, but TMOS is helping keep my mind off it. Then Mike says she has she has an extra thumb. Now let me open my own vault of little sounds in quick succession. Ha ha. Arg. Damn it. Oh. Ha ha, me for laughing. Arg for when the drill slips, hitting two teeth in an area with no Novocaine. Oh. Damn it, when I bit the dentist's thumb. And ooh from the dental assistant, who I'm sure is banging the dentist. When she saw the dentist's thumb. So TMOS should come with a disclaimer. I should have known better. You guys make me laugh out loud every day, and that ain't so easy in today's world. Last year, I said I wanted to come down and hang out with Mike in Maine for a couple of days on my birthday, but I didn't make it. I'm still available this year. Let me know what's good for you and what I can bring. Rick Potter, call Tom Brokaw. That's it, Rob. You hump start the show. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, I will get to the Daddy Day yesterday.
Cool.
And I hope you enjoy it, and I hope you're enjoying the show, and I hope you're not getting your teeth drilled. We'll be right back, everybody.
This week on the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Zoolander came over, he Ubered over to my house a couple weeks ago, and then when he was cresting alcoholically, he said, you know, it's really not a big deal that you didn't go to my wedding. However, it's been over a year, or almost a year. I want you to watch my wedding video.
He was drunk.
He was plastered. And he said, now I want to warn you, do you have any Kleenex? Because I'm going to cry. He's just the guy I get along with so well. I said, I can literally bring you Kleenex, Zoo, if you want it, but you're not going to cry. He said, I swear I'm going to cry. And I said, all right. So we hit it, and there's, you know, like the bride is getting ready, and there's a picture of him putting his tie on. And I look over, and he's going... Oh, no!
The Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Because 5 hours a week just ain't enough. Always available at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Boom. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Here it is, plain and simple. Stamps.com saves you time and money, which you can use to grow your business. With Stamps.com, you can mail any letter or any package just by using your computer and printer. Then the mailman picks it up. No more post office. Mail everything from postcards to envelopes to packages, anything you want.
You used it yesterday to send you some challenge coins. You'll be getting them this week.
Some more.
Oh,
yeah. You've got to get me a new case for that.
Yeah, you
domestic
do.
Or international, just click, print, mail, and you're done. And unlike the post office, Stamps.com never closes. It's easy to create your Stamps account in minutes online with no equipment to lease and no long-term commitments. It's convenient. It's easy. It's reliable. It's flexible. They even send you a digital scale that will automatically calculate the exact postage, and we love it. We've used Stamps.com forever. It is easy. It is convenient. It saves us money. It saves us time. You do it from home.
Yep.
Who wants to hassle with the post office? Right now, you too can enjoy Stamps.com with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale without long-term commitments. Go to Stamps.com, and before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in TMOS. That's stamps.com and enter TMOS. Stamps.com. Never go to the post office again. I have to tell you, the bonus show this week, Rob tells a story about our intern, Eric Zoolander, coming over to Rob's house because he wanted a drink. And it is, I loved it. It's Oscar, that was
a
not
classic
what was that?
TMOS.
Absolute classic. Instant classic.
The story you told was not something I could have ever bet on.
No.
I said, this is going to happen at Rob's
so
house on a weekend night.
So many different variables came together. It was, I hate the phrase, a perfect storm.
It
happened.
A perfect storm.
It was good stuff. So.
And that you got a little taste of it in that promo there. But,
but there's much more.
Check out the bonus show this week. If you don't get the bonus show, you miss that kind of stuff. And for some reason, we really, more often than not on the bonus shows, we go full stream of consciousness, which, you know, Rob maps out all this stuff on the show.
And then we start rambling.
And because, frankly, it's an easier show to do for us because we just ramble.
Yeah,
and we get somewhere, and it's crazy. I actually look forward to it so much. Check out the bonus show, and we'll see what happens. As I mentioned earlier in the week, my little guy has been going through a bit of a phase, and
Cats in the Cradle, you ass.
Mike, you have to cherish these moments.
You are such
time, so special.
Time flies.
It does fly.
Dad arrived just the other day.
Yeah, thank you. Stop it.
There were planes to catch, bills to pay.
Hey, Dad, I'm ignoring you like you ignored me. This is Depression Radio 101. My dad was an a-hole like me, son. My dad was an a-hole like me.
Well, Dad was anyway, playing records on WOLDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDDD
total interaction with my son when I'm not doing this show
right.
all the time. I'm with him all the time, unless he's going to his little campy camp, which we're not quite sure. He loves it. He hates it. It's a love-hate, but that's four, right?
Mm.
But the problem is that he's been in a bit of a funk and a bit of a mood, and, you know, he's not getting along with his sister, and he's not getting along with his mother, and he's not getting along with his teacher, and he can throw a real fit, and he seems to have an explosive temper.
Huh?
I have no idea where he got it from.
What type of explosive? Like, give us an example.
He doesn't like the party to end, and the best example would be the other night
when
I had my cousin Teddy and his sons over, and it was time to go. And suddenly he went from playing with these kids to angrily telling them, don't step on my Legos, and like frowning at them and then pitching a total fit, going to bed and just going, I want to watch the end of the movie. I want to watch the end of the movie. And it was, he went. I thought that it would be, as opposed to just being in the house and being what I am in the house, which is, you know, I'm the equivalent in my own home when I'm not on the radio of the Charlie Brown teacher, where somebody, you know, where I'll say something to anyone in the house and it'll come out like, and nobody hears me. Nobody pays attention to me, right?
Right.
So I said, what I'll do is I'll have a captive audience and I'll take the little guy mid-afternoon and we'll just go out and do stuff. We'll fart around and find something to do. And then I'll take him to dinner myself at this little place on the river. The river.
River.
And it's off we go. So what does he want to do? Carla comes to me, and this is where you're trying to right the ship. You're trying to do something. And Carla comes into me and says, he wants to go to the Blueberry. And I said, okay, the Blueberry is halfway to Canada. I'm taking him for the afternoon, so that's problematic. And then I
when you answered Carla, me, did it?
Well, I'm hearing that. No, I hear her loud and clear. I hear her loud and clear.
Darn it.
That's what I said.
Okay.
When I respond, checking. So basically, I said to her, he wants to go to the Blueberry, but what she heard was this. This is it. Yeah, all right. Okay, thanks. Anyway. So the Blueberry is this, like, fake Blueberry. And don't play it anymore.
I won't.
All right, so, you missed my cue on it, yeah. So don't play it anymore. Play it when it F's up my story. But anyway, the Blueberry is...
You are upset.
I've had a tough week
with him. I understand, I know.
Hey, we're on the same team here.
He hears me say, "I can't." The Blueberry is halfway to Canada. I don't want to go to the Blueberry. And then it becomes the phase that he's in. It becomes all encompassing. The Blueberry, sure. the Blueberry. And I'm doing everything in my power to divert, to distract, and I'm successful. We
Good.
Get into the car, and I say, "Okay, here's what we're gonna." This is what you have to do more often than not. I think with a 4-year-old, you avoid engaging them in any way where they're in the decision.
Half of parenting is sleight of hand.
Right.
It is. It's distraction. It truly, truly is.
Oh,
but when you see the kids that are acting like a-holes on an airplane, when the parents are asking them everything, what pisses you off in a restaurant when you're at a food counter, like at a deli, when you have a 3-year-old and the mother's going, do you want the chicken or do you want the beef? And it's just, it doesn't work.
Last time you liked ketchup, do you want to try ketchup? We could put ketchup on it.
That's not to say that I won't let him choose like off of a kid's menu or something. Like that. But by and large, when it's like what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, I decide. Yeah, we're going. I say it with such a tone that he kind of pipes down and he gets it.
Sure.
And it's off to my sister's house, and her daughter's there with her two kids. Win, 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 win. Didn't know that. Just swung by.
Right.
And there they were. That kills probably 45 minutes to an hour.
Perfect.
Where he's playing with them in the backyard. Everything was fantastic. It's rolling along. And then he wanted to go see the Civil War cannons down at the end of the road where they have the little Civil War memorial, mm-hmm. like every one horse town in America.
Yes.
So he wants to see that. I negotiate, but I don't negotiate. I manipulate him into,
good thinking.
Well, would you like to see the cannons up close, or would you don't need to get out of the car to do that. And we'll go get ice cream if we stay in the car. He said, I got ice cream. So he gets the ice cream. I go get him. So we go look at the cannons. I said, are you ready to leave the cannons right now? I'm just sitting in the car. We can watch the cannons for 20 minutes. Doesn't matter to me.
Right.
He said, Danny, what's the cannon? They don't shoot anymore. Do they? And he's like super smart that way. It's like, they don't shoot anymore, but they shot in the day, but they don't use those anymore. And it's like, he's giving me like a history lesson. I'm like, who taught you these things? Who taught you these?
See, this is the
things?
Difference between our parenting, because what I would have said is they do shoot, but only at bad children.
So we're off. We're off and we get ice cream and he's happy. And I know that at the conclusion of getting him his kiddie's cup of chocolate ice cream, that's going to be the problem. Because in the middle of it all, I have negotiated, because of the ice cream, a haircut. And seriously, his hair has been like on the bridge of his nose. That's how long the front has gotten.
Mm-hmm.
And he has the chocolate ice cream. I've got him super psyched for the haircut. He's unfazed. He's not peeping about it. It's going to be great. Mm-hmm. It's off to get the haircut. And then the journey into the land of Maine to get a haircut begins. And do I have to break? Are you playing?
Yeah, we should. We should break here.
Aren't barbershops like Americana?
Yeah, you would think they'd be part of the fabric of Maine.
Yes.
Going to give somebody an offering, and I will not mention the name of the place. It's a small business, and I'm not going to torpedo a small business, but I will tell you about an altercation that occurred. A bad one. From a dick.
Oh!
We will take a break, and I will come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show. You're no heartbreaker.
Ladies, are you looking for hot singles in your area? Looking to connect with some of the most eligible bachelors and be swept off your feet and led into the sunset? Looking to find that kind of romance that can only be found in that movie Titanic?
Yeah? Well, me too. But in the meantime, you can find plenty of stupid cat videos to fill the void in the TMOS Ladies Who Lunch Facebook group. Join today to get your weekly dose of stupid pictures and connect with plenty of hot singles in your area. If you count Ponyboy.
Here's to the Ladies Who Lunch.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, brought to you by 5-4 Club. Looking good doesn't need to cost a fortune. There's a solution. 5-4 Club, ladies and gentlemen, revolutionizing the way men shop. Each month, they send you a curated box of 2 to 3 items that are handpicked to match the current season. They fit Oscar. They fit Rob.
Yes.
They fit everybody in between. They've been helping men with fashion for over 15 years, and they ship to over 100,000 men every month. We love 5-4. Don't
the
you
best.
Guys love
it's 5-4? It's wonderful to throw on a shirt that fits.
The best hoodie I've ever had, the best jeans I've ever had from 5-4
they,
Club.
They know what they're doing, so if you don't, that's okay. 5-4 Club will help you build your wardrobe 1 month at a time, which is important because when you look good, you feel good. You look marvelous. That's a fact of life. You get $120 worth of clothes for just $60 a month. Plus, you can pause or cancel anytime with no commitments. And as a 5-4 Club member, you'll also receive up to 50% off items in their online shop and access to exclusive members-only items free. I'm sorry, I always say that the wrong way. Exclusive members-only items. .. Free shipping and size exchanges. Go to 5-4 Club right now.
When?
And enter promo code TMOS, and they'll give you 50% off your first month's package, plus a free pair of sunglasses. 50% off your first package at 5-4 Club.
Whoa.
Spelled FIVEFOUR club.com. Promo code TMOS. 5-4club.com. Promo code TMOS.
Boom,
and we thank you. All right. The total number of stops that I made to try to get my 4-year-old a haircut was 5. I succeeded on number 5, and you will love the success of this story because you'll love the store that I finally got him.
Okay.
a haircut at. So that was the worst English that I think I've used in my broadcast career.
Do you have like a regular place in Florida that you use? Because I know you've had haircut issues in the past.
Oh, yeah, I do, but it's not pleasant. And so I'm always looking for another place. But I end up going back to the same, Fox News addict that hates everybody. You know, and I go in there and she's like, yeah, the problem is the Arabs, what we ought to do with the thing. And it's like, oh, God, just please trim the back, please. God. He knows I'm a Democrat. He knows we disagree and we're very respectful to one another. He apparently, like once a month, he'll get a guy that's like from my team that just can't handle it.
Right.
And I go, you guys are a-holes. I can't stay here. And they'll walk out and he loves telling that story because he's 70 years old. So he doesn't care.
He doesn't care.
And he goes, and then he'll say to me, he'll be like, say, now you, on the other hand, we have a respectful dialogue.
A discourse.
And
I'm like,
And I'm saying outside, I'm going, yeah, you're absolutely right. You incredible douche. But anyway, so the thing is, no, like the way he cuts my hair, that's why I
good.
Go. We go to the first place because when we got into Maine, there was a storefront that said, place, haircuts,
man place.
New place.
By the way, Google that.
Oh.
It says, man, I don't care about the guy. He walks in, and it's got like one hair name for a place, like Inspirations or something. Then it's got the man cut station.
And
then it's got barbers. It's totally a confused message, but there are two signs on the front, then one on the side, then it's another sign that says, don't use this door, use the next door. You get down to the next door, that's locked, and then you see the door. So you go through this, and it's fine. You finally get down there, and I walk in. And right. I walk in with my four-year-old, and the guy's like this. The guy's like, and he's texting or something like that.
Right.
And it's not even a hand up or be right with you. It's look up, look down, finish his business, which was about a minute and a half, which is dick move number one.
Yeah, but greet your customer.
Greet your customer.
2 seconds,
real
pal.
Simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm standing there with the little guy. This was the fastest altercation I've ever had in any retail operation at all. So he gets done. He's done with whatever he's doing. And he goes, yep. And I look, and by the way, this is a barber that has the complete marine cut where it's smooth, shaved smooth on the side with just a pube nipple right up on the top.
High and tight. High and tight.
Yeah, like a hockey puck of hair.
And I get, I said, and I looked at him and I said, okay, I'm going to overlook this frustration and I'll do it with humor.
And I said,
yeah, do you give haircuts here? And normally that'll get... And the guy go, we sure can. On my child's life, this was the response I got. I said, do you give haircuts here? And the guy looks at me and goes, it's a barbershop.
Oh.
That's the response I got. I still decided to hang in, although now the hair on the back of my neck has begun to stand up
because
I'm going... I'm not happy at all, And I said, can we get a haircut for this little guy? And he looks at me, same expression on the douche's face. He goes, will he squirm?
Oh, my God.
And I said, we're out of here.
Yeah.
And as I'm walking, I go, I'll tell the world about this joint. And he goes, please do. I'm like, wow.
Whoa.
Man cave in Ellsworth, Maine. Jesus. And there were no customers in there.
Well, you wonder why.
Yeah.
But I mean, I was stunned by that, and I am instantaneously on a quest to go out into haircut land. Now, by the way, in towns that are, let's just say, having a bit of a tough time in America, I think there's one profession that still remains active, and you can probably find them, and that is hair cutting.
Yeah,
and there
the
is
hair
no
keeps
exception.
Growing, Mike.
There is no exception to that rule up here, and so I went to the first place, which was I can't even tell you the names of the place, but it was Salon Number One. I walk in where they say walk-ins welcome, and I said, "Are walk-ins welcome?" She goes, "Absolutely," and I bring the kid in, and I got to the counter. But we only have one person working, so we can't take anyone today. I said, was that some sort of bait and switch? What was that? Was that some sort of... No,
some
what it was...
Some main was, mind was, trick.
It's like she was trying to get me in the door because she wanted me to make an appointment for tomorrow.
Of
and
course.
I'm like, no, I got the rug rat here right
a
now.
Loss
I want
leader.
The haircut. Then it was off. across the street. So there's a place across the street. There's a place across the street. And I said, oh, that's great. So the place across the street, I get out of the car. I am now approaching a heightened sense of paranoia. And this guy gets out of a truck and walks in front of me. I'm a foot and a half with my four-year-old in my hand. He opens the door, and it practically beheads me because he just storms right in. And then he goes into the salon, where obviously he knew everybody because he was chatting them up. And I'm not going to get in a fight with two guys in one day.
No, but I really wanted
to say, hey, thank you for almost decapitating my four-year-old, you dick, when you went in through the door like that. And I thought maybe you would, you know, pause a little bit to get in. Well, they can't take. What are you looking at, Rob? What are you, just out of curiosity, what are you glancing at over
there? The time.
You're looking off to the right. The time. I'm fine on time. Yeah. I'll worry about it.
You don't take your eyes off Mike when we're doing the show.
You stay out of this.
No, I was just curious that you never do that. I was just
checking the time. I'm sorry. My apologies.
Right. Okay. Am I keeping you on? Anyway, I'm looking at the guy and so the guy does this. They can't take anybody. They're full up. I go to the next place. I see the barber pole in a little strip mall.
That's like, bingo. Key. That is the one you want to go
barber
to.
Barber pole.
Yeah.
Closed at noon. At noon.
What?
In the middle of the week.
On a Wednesday, closed at noon.
When people would be coming out on their lunch break to get their haircut. That's stupid. Jesus.
So, suddenly, it dawns on me. It comes to me like a bolt of lightning. Walmart.
Oh, yeah.
Walmart cuts hair.
The Mall of America.
Yes, Walmart cuts hair.
They got pedicures, everything.
And they got a hair place.
McDonald's
right there.
Sometimes.
Wow. I walk in, nice lady named Rain. Which I thought was a lovely. Rain cuts my son's hair. 10 minutes, 15 minutes tops. He's all trimmed up. We're off, and we had a perfectly wonderful evening for the rest of
the day. You happy with the haircut?
Huge.
Perfect?
Huh?
The haircut was perfect?
It's a Walmart haircut.
40% chance of rain.
How much does a kid's haircut? How much does a kid's haircut cost? I don't know.
It costs $73.95.
No,
really?
Yeah, but they throw in a free box of chocolates.
God.
No, it was twelve dollars with tip. I think it was $12.95 with tip. $250.
You're open past noon. Take my money.
Wonderful.
Take my money.
There we go.
Flobie, Mike. Flobie.
Thank you, Rand.
From now on.
Flobie. Yeah, well, you know, Mama's particular. So she liked it, though. I got the thumbs up on that, and he looked cute as the Dickens.
Did he squirm?
Yeah. Did I mention I'm 58? We'll take a break, and we'll come back with the news you may not need on the Mike O'Mara Show. You know, we have many income streams right here at the Mike O'Mara Show. We have the bonus shows. That's a big one, isn't it, Rob?
Cornerstone.
Yeah, the show depends on it.
Work harder.
Real important. Go subscribe to the TMOS bonus show. We have our Amazon connection.
Yes.
Too.
Yes, the Amazon portal is huge. You must always use it.
Shop through Amazon. And, of course, we'd like you to support our advertisers. That's very important, is it not?
Yeah, and not just financial support, but support them morally.
You know you're an ass. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Let's talk about love. I love love. I love my family. Love my friends.
Love.
Love my Amazon.com. Love Amazon because our partnership with them is one of the ways that keeps TMOS alive. You know who I also love? I love Brian Casson.
Oh.
He cares for his family so much that he just bought a 4-pack of Home Starry solar eclipse glasses so that his family doesn't go blind staring at the sun on August 21st. Now, that's thinking.
That is good thinking and thinking ahead.
I hear that Brian is always taking precautions to prevent blindness in others.
It's a movement.
And he is best described as movie star handsome.
I hear
we
that
love you,
a lot,
Brian.
Yeah.
Be like Brian, please. Shop Amazon through our website and let us love you,
everything
too.
Everything is there.
The page has a new look, and you will love how easy it is to help us by helping yourself to what you really need. Shopping Amazon.com this way changes nothing for you, means the world to us. Please shop Amazon, and please access it via TMOS. Use the app or go through our website. Now, please, get out there and spend money.
News.
News. Woo.
Boo. Yeah, I am a finicky performer, aren't I?
How do you mean?
Rob's eyes start shifting and darting around, and I start to, you know, I notice it. You know?
Yeah. Well,
no,
no,
you know what you are.
You
you're
know
a man.
Your audience.
Yeah, and you demand perfection.
Yes.
If you're wondering why Floyd Mayweather is boxing, thank you. MMA star Conor McGregor later this month. He broke it down quick and simple on the first episode of Showtime's All Access Mayweather versus McGregor. He said, quote, "I mean, I'm the highest paid athlete out there. We're not talking about no contract. We're not talking about no contract for no 4 years or no contract for no 5 years." I'm reading this the way it's written.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I can do it. I can do it in 36 minutes. $300 million or better in 36 minutes.
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
It's kind of makes me pause about the whole thing. It really, really
he
does.
He can't really realize that much money, can he?
Well, he's going to make that much. Well, he's not going to make that much, but he's going to make more than he made in the Pacquiao fight. No, he'll
or
make
is it a bigger number,
no, he'll
but
make
that's
more,
what the take on
he'll make be. More than the Pacquiao fight. And what did he make? I think it's $120 million off that one.
He said it's more the it's $300 million, which means it would be $8 million per minute.
Oh,
so
man.
Easy call. Connor will make $100 million, but he isn't complaining because that will be the largest payday for an MMA
fighter. Set for life.
He'll make sure you get that invoice in because they're going to slow to pay you. You want to make
you
sure
know,
you get
if
your
he's
time
going
sheet
to be, if
out.
Connor hits him with a leg or anything like that, like outside of boxing,
it's over.
No, but he doesn't get the money. Like he forfeits,
and he's
like,
disqualified,
yes,
and that's it. Right?
That's it.
It's BS. It's yeah. It's a BS exhibition match. I'm not paying for it. Made the decision.
Good.
Not going
to
look at it.
Will you go
watch
to a place
you
where
show
it
the
is?
World.
No.
No. You won't
no,
even
will
watch
not.
It.
No. Okay. No. It's not. It's going to be a disappointment. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I can live with that. I'm not going. It's going to be a crap fest.
They've got my
He's
money.
Not going to hit him with a leg. Yeah. No one's going to give up that kind of money.
Right.
So that's the way it goes. I will not be getting that fight. I think it's a complete ruse. I might not be alone, too. I'm a junkie for this stuff. And
you think there'll be there sort are, of a bounce back, some sort of negative reaction?
I guarantee it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there, as we get closer to this fight, I think you may see more of that. We'll see. I could be wrong about that, too. There have been about a million adaptations of Stephen King's work. Some have been amazing. Some have been pitiful. With The Dark Tower hitting theaters tomorrow and the new It coming out in a month, Rolling Stone ranked King's movies from worst to best.
Okay.
This is the top 10 worst to best. Number 10 is Creepshow. Anybody?
I've seen Creepshow, yeah.
That was an HBO staple for a long time.
Yeah, but the movie itself was also great.
No, but I'm saying the movie was on
HBO.
Okay,
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, I've never seen The Mist.
I've seen it. Scary.
I didn't see The Mist.
Yeah. Scary. Yeah. Number 8, Christine. Big one. 1983.
Of course.
Huge. Car movie.
Huge.
Yeah.
By the way, Creepshow was 1982. Hard to believe.
God.
The Mist was 2007. Christine, 1983. Children of the Corn. That was a big one in 1984.
Yeah.
There
and also
you go.
High carbs.
Here's one that people don't realize because it's not horror. The Shawshank Redemption.
I always forget that he wrote that.
He did?
1994.
Yeah.
Yes,
oh,
he wrote that.
Man.
Short story.
And how is that? How is that not number one?
I'm, you know, because people are like, because you'll see what's number one.
Okay.
It's Rolling Stone.
All right.
Number 5 is The Shining, one of my all-time.
Of course.
1980, one of my all-time favorites. Number 4, another great one. Great movies from Stephen King books. Stand By Me in 1980.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he's a great storyteller, and movies are about storytelling.
This is why this list is crap, Rob. They put The Dead Zone in front of Stand By Me.
What?
And The Shining. The Dead Zone with Christopher Walken.
No, thank you.
Please, 1983. Yeah. Now this one, I do believe this should be in the top three.
Yeah.
Number 2 is Misery from 1990.
Nice.
So good.
And the number one, I have it now, so I can play it. There we go. We have, ladies and gentlemen, the number one Stephen King movie ranked by Rolling Stone, Carrie, 1976.
That's a messed up list. It's not good.
Don't agree.
No,
I
disagree as well.
All. Yep, disagree. Kristen Stewart admits that she has resting bee face. Can we say biatch?
Yeah, you can say bitch.
Resting biatch face. She says, quote, "I'm really not introverted. I'm just not acting all the time." Well, you have the resting biatch face when you're acting, too.
Yeah, that's all she does. That's her move.
That's what it would take to look like how people expect famous people to behave. That's what she says. But she adds that she'd like men to stop using the B word. Sorry. It's demeaning. She says it's demeaning and literally on par with something homophobic or something racist. Oh, calm down.
Get over it.
Smile a little bit more. That's
smile, though your heart is aching.
Remember when you broke up that marriage?
That's right.
That's what we want from your public, just a smile or
Home
two.
Wrecker.
Watch my wedding video.
I'm going to cry.
Anyway, BuzzFeed asked a bunch of people if they wash their hands before, after, or neither for a bunch of different activities that deserve some amount of cleanliness.
All right.
putting your hand down your pants and scratching 25%. Do it after. I'm just going to give you the after because okay. If you're not, you know, if you're doing it before, it's silly. If you're doing it neither, you're a pig. But only 25% will wash their hands after they scratch. You know, having sex, 56% of people do it afterwards.
It seems about right. Hands. Yeah.
Taking public transportation. Now we're getting into the Howard Hughes term. I don't wash my hands after taking public transportation.
If it presents itself, I will. I mean, if I'm like in a bathroom, I would wash my hands after that. Yeah.
Of taking course, out the trash, 78% do that afterwards. I probably should do that more than I do. Peeing, 87% of people pee afterwards.
Gotta clean up.
Wash their hands afterwards. That's very nice. Cooking, 93% before, 86% after, 3% neither. I do both when I'm preparing food.
Do you wash multiple times while you prepare food?
I shower. Number two, cleaning the toilet. 96% wash their hands afterwards, 12% before, 3% neither. And pooping, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Hey, Rob.
Yes.
You know how I got you to send me the timpani?
Yeah. Okay.
Pooping, ladies and gentlemen. 96% of people clean up after poop, 3% before, and then there are that nasty, dirty people that do neither. Ew.
Why would you wash your hands before a BM?
You know what? A nice BM. I don't understand why. That
did you have a nice BM, dear?
Did you? Did you have a nice bowel movement? Did you? Thank you.
Like
and now
nurse.
A little something. Well, on the same theme since we're on poo.
Sure.
27-year-old Bryce Booz from Great Falls, Montana, found a set of lost keys on Thursday, and he returned them to the car dealership that they came from, and apparently he wanted a reward. Get yourself a little reward.
Get a reward.
That's what Frank used to say. Yeah. But they didn't give him a reward. That made him so angry that he punched one of their cars, and then he did something truly awful.
What?
In the car dealership, he stuck his hand in the back of his pants, and he smeared it on the side of the car.
Oh,
God.
Pony, I'm just reading the story. I'm sorry. He did apparently about, I don't know how this happened, because, I mean, I would think just a hose would take care of it, but he did about $1,500 in damage. Filthy, filthy damage. So there must have been, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to go into the details. The cops came after he fought with them for a while. They arrested him for felony, criminal mischief, and two misdemeanor counts of disorderly conduct and resisting arrest. And I wonder if they asked him any questions in the holding cell, like, have you driven a poopy Ford lately? It's the ultimate pooping machine. Built poop tough. This is not your father's poop mobile. Sorry. There.
Hey, Mike, I brought the story up. They revealed how he did the damage.
How?
He eats a lot of peanuts.
There you go. Oh, scratches. Nasty. There you go.
They're coast.
Disgusting. We'll take a break and come back with more fun on the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, everybody. If you're a big fan of the Mike O'Mara Show, I want to urge you to share all of your tech support questions with our man, Pony Boy Matt Bloom. Pony Boy, how can they contact you?
Well, you just email me at ponyboy@mikeomarashow.com.
Why did you hesitate then?
I don't know.
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. Hey, I want to tell you about something. We've got a brand new website that's opening up.
Hey!
We are proud to announce the debut of a brand new source for all your voiceover needs, ladies and gentlemen. Introducing MikeOVO.com.
Yeah! Woo!
Now, it's a cinch to make any voiceover sound the best that it can be. MikeOVO.com brings you one click away from the golden tones of Mr. Mike O'Meara.
Who?
Mike O'Meara. Mike O'Meara.
We need that again.
MikeOVO.com brings you one click away from the golden tones of Mr. Mike O'Meara.
We'll fix it in post.
Whether you need a classic announcer, a character voice, or one of his signature celebrity impressions. I'm laughing about one of them now. Whatever you need, MikeOVO.com can make it happen. Mike not only is a great man, but specializes in commercials, radio promos, and imaging, audiobooks, and narration of any kind you see or so. High-quality audio with a fast turnaround time. You can write it, Mike can voice it, and bring it to life.
Just go to MikeOVO.com and contact us today. MikeOVO.com. Let Mike do the talking. Thank you very much. I appreciate that. Now let's open up the audio vault for today. What day is this? This is
today is the 3rd of August.
Yeah, where'd I put my thing?
You lose your thing?
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Today's the 3rd of August. Did I mention that?
You know what? Sometimes when I write copy, I have a hope how you're going to read it, and sometimes it's just that way. Thank you.
Oh, was that the way you wanted
it? I wanted
it,
well, just like that.
I was surprised when you sent me copy talking about myself.
I said, you know, it'll be fun. Make him talk in the third person.
Very excited. Do you have any little sounds?
Little baby guys, yeah. This is from Los Angeles, and this has gone viral over the last 24 hours. A lady did not tip when she took delivery of a pizza, and the pizza delivery man wrote a 4-page threatening letter and left it to her. And there's certain aspects in this pizza delivery boy's letter that I find very entertaining.
I delivered you a pizza not long ago, and it was not given a tip. I'm just kind of high, so I need your tip money to stay toasty. And if it turns out that the delivery driver is me again and you do not tip yet again, I'm gonna probably rob you. I'm joking, but not really.
God, she sounds like a pothead, doesn't she?
Very unstable. I've been in situations when people have walked out and not left me anything, and I'm not seeking them out, leaving them 4-page letters.
So
she got the letter from the pothead.
Yeah,
but she sounds
like a pothead too. Because if you don't tip your pizza guy, how can he stay toasty?
Exactly.
How can he stay toasty? America needs to know.
Do you think that she acted right?
I've been to hotels
deliver
all my
and
life.
Bake. What, Diego?
I've been to hotels for all my life, 7 years.
And?
I've never worked a delivery job.
But I'm saying, do you think that this guy has a point?
Hey, way to go. Way to go. Way to kick his ass. Way to go. That's right. He's stereotyping.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but not...
Like, clearly, he's worked lawns and painted houses.
Yeah.
Yeah, and delivered pizza. You went right to Diego. Yeah. Why did you do it? No, I am going to defend Rob.
Because
he's a pothead.
Exactly, Fokker.
That's why you...
You're a pothead, Fokker.
Yeah, pothead, Fokker.
Did you know, and I didn't realize, that Shania Twain is still a thing?
Oh, hey, if you're delivering a pizza while you're high, you're baking and bacon.
That's right.
Yeah.
It's not wake and bake, it's bake and bake.
Bake and bake.
Did you know?
Bake, bake, deliver.
Shania Twain is still a thing. I knew she was very popular, like, around the turn of the century, but she still has a following. And when I say turn of the century, I mean 1900 to 2000.
Do you even have to say turn of the century?
Yeah.
I've seen her recently. She is still... Trey hot, in my humble opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Once she got her teeth fixed, she looked good.
God, you never forget that.
Nor should I. And nor should you, Mike. You know why? Floss, brush, take care. And you don't have to do that. Anyway, she put a message on social media that I play for a reason. She loves sassy tweets.
I see you guys in my mentions. I'm just loving all the sass. I love all the attitude. Just keep it coming. I'm enjoying it. I'm having some great fun. And I'm going to retweet my faves.
She's going to retweet, but I think if you isolate the middle part about all the sass, it sounds much more entertaining.
I'm just loving all the sass.
I think maybe she could be talking about ass.
I'm just loving all the sass.
I'm just loving all this ass.
I'm just loving all the sass.
So much.
Man.
She loves it. Mike, you don't watch Good Morning America, but Michael Strahan was missing yesterday.
Oh, no.
Yes. And he revealed, he was missing 2 days ago. Yesterday, he revealed the problem. He's missing a piece of his pinky.
I had a little accident, lost a little bit of my pinky.
You didn't have to show us the pictures.
I showed you the pictures. And I didn't realize how much of a joke I was going to be around here today.
Show you guys the pictures.
No, not at all. But I didn't realize how much of a joke I was going to be. The guy just told me before, he said, Michael, we pinky swear or something like that. There's going to be a lot of jokes for a while, but I am okay and I'm happy to be back.
He had a massive bandage.
Giant linemen, New York Giant linemen with their hands. My God, be careful, guys.
But he didn't reveal how he lost his pinky. Any guesses? I mean, do you think he was doing something?
Domestic war?
You can't lose a piece of your pinky and be a part of the media without telling people what happened.
Because I had a guess, too, and it actually is something that you narrowly cheated death. Could have been a wood-splitting accident.
Yes, that's true. You know what? Michael Strahan, I believe, plays it very closely. I don't think he reveals anything. I think he has
Does he have anything to reveal?
I think he's got a lot to reveal. I think he's got a suit of armor, protective coating around him, because he doesn't like people to know the real Michael Strahan, who is tabloid fodder regularly.
Yeah.
Because I think he not necessarily
you know, always doing the right thing. I think he's an incredible work ethic, but he's had issues. He's had a lot of issues.
So you're saying that a hooker bit his finger off?
Exactly.
That's what I thought. I know, Mike, just as you always bring us Justin Bieber news, I will always bring you Toby Keith news.
Because Toby Keith.
I monitor the licorice hat circuit, and he was, this video is on our Facebook page. He was golfing, and his golf cart ceased to be. It stopped working, so he began to ride it like a bucking bronco. Here is the audio of Toby Keith bouncing inside a broken golf cart as if it is a bull.
Get ready, cowboy. Ride him, cowboy! Ride him!
I don't know why people don't take him seriously.
Wow.
Good news.
How do you do that to a golf cart?
It just, I think it sounded to me like it might have been a dead battery, because when it was in reverse, when you're in reverse, you get that squealing noise. And it wasn't
golf
moving.
Carts, I have the experience with this. Golf carts can do a million different things. They're so effed up and they're so cheaply made that they can, you know, die at a moment's notice. And mine has a squeak too, because, you know, everybody buys them like I do. When you get a new one, you get an old one.
Right. So exactly. Refurb.
That's really, there are very, you'll see the guy with a brand new golf cart, but it's kind of an exception to the rule.
Mike, good news, Shaquille O'Neal is back in the recording studio and rapping.
Oh,
good. Yes. And good. I anything he does, I approve of.
Are you familiar with LeVar Ball?
Yes.
Yeah. He did a diss track for LeVar Ball and talking about how much LeVar says his child is so talented. This is Shaquille coming out against the Ball family. This is a hit. Emmy, you want to take this back to school with you, because this is a hit record right here.
Listen here. They call me Steph Harden. I make the same salary as Stephen James Harden. 200 plus. 248. You do the math, man. Damn, my life is great. You wanna battle these? You better have endurance. Before you crash, man, get that general insurance. Or get some icy hot. Rub it on your back. Before you break that, run around with Shaq. Sit down, man.
Yeah.
You be doing the most. You know your ass is barbecue chicken in the post.
The diss track did not make it. But he has
great
a
production
message.
Value.
Yeah, a message he wants to convey.
Yeah, I'm a little disappointed, to be perfectly honest with you.
You wanted a little more dancey?
Yeah, a little, you know, just a little more something. I don't know what it is.
Well, Shaq, he's back in the studio. Maybe he'll find his footing. We hope so.
Very good.
And good news for
Los
Angeles.
And let's stop talking about Shaq, because it's extremely uncomfortable when the two white guys just riff on Shaq. You know, it's just back and forth.
All right, it wasn't very good. I don't think it's so bad. You have great taste in music. You know what's good and what's bad.
Yeah, I wouldn't put it on my playlist.
Yeah. No, it wasn't a good track. Production value solid, though.
There it is.
Very solid.
Yeah, production value
says
very
a Latino.
Beautiful. Great reverb.
Just for if we're calling all
congratulations
out.
To Los Angeles, who got the Olympics for 2028.
And the audio vote all over yet? All right, go ahead. No, I'm sorry. No, just kidding.
Oh,
just kidding.
My.
Please. No,
almost.
No, just go ahead.
Almost.
Please.
Yes, congratulations to Los Angeles, who have the Olympics in 2028.
Welcome to Los Angeles, home of the 2028 Summer Olympic Games. We got the Olympics in 2028. Only 11 more years, and then volleyball. Yay. Between climate change and Kim Jong-un, it's optimistic to think we'll still have a Los Angeles in 2028. But if we do, game's on.
That's right. Just have a plan B. That's your Magic Audio Vault, and Mike, it's over.
That's wonderful. That's not wonderful that it's over.
Thank you.
It's just, you know, I mean, I don't know. It was interesting. The whole Shaq thing. God. All right. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. That's it, people. Thanks for joining us for another episode of the Mike O'Mara Show. Don't forget, update our brand new app and unlock the live 24/7 TMOS stream. Thanks for listening. For Rob and Oscar, Mike O'Mara saying bye-bye, everybody.
So long.
Ciao, ciao.
One last thing. Please remember that MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon is the best way to shop for anything and everything. So, shop Amazon and get there through our website. Always open at MikeOMaraShow.com/Amazon. Now, go in peace.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.